If I could have everyone please take a seat. If I could please have everyone take their seat. I hope you enjoyed the compassion break. All right. We have approximately 50 more people signed up. 50. Yeah. So what we find often is that what can be said really well in 2 minutes can often be said even better in a minute. So the point here is we want to provide everyone who signed up an opportunity to testify, but there's sort of this inverse reality that the longer the night goes on, the more tired people get. Sort of everyone's faculties diminishes. So if you've prepared for 2 minutes, then use your 2 minutes. If you can say it quicker, then please say it quicker. At this point in the evening, repeating something that somebody else said, since it isn't vote-taking in terms of who showed up for the meeting, it's really the quality and the actual words and thoughts expressed. So if someone has already covered a topic that you were going to talk about, you can tell Carla to remove your name. We would really appreciate, because we do want to get everyone up before the microphone. So thank you all for your patience and for sticking with us. And the next four after this panel will be...
Donita Fry, Roger Anthony, Nyla McCarthy, and Jack Stratton.
Thank you for waiting. Please begin.
Dear council members, I'm Helen Ying, and I come before you today as a member of this community, a member of the Creation Committee, a person representing the Chinese American Citizens Alliance, and an educator. My family did not have much when I was growing up, and I know full well the struggles of the meaning of have not. I started my career as an educator 31 years ago in Northeast and North Portland, and then in Southeast Portland, as well as in Molalla, before returning back in Northeast, where I finished my career as an educator. Over the years, I experienced and observed firsthand the dilemma and impacts in schools of what you have read in the reports regarding the communities of color and the state of Black Oregon. What is alarming is that the gap of disparity has grown even wider in spite of quote-unquote efforts that have been attempted. We're at a critical juncture. The landscape of our city has changed and is changing as we speak in terms of people who live here. The issue of equity must be addressed unequivocally with intention and design. We can no longer leave it to chance or default. We know if we do the same thing the same way, we'll get the same results. The Creation Committee has examined the following questions in the course of its work. Why have the things that have been tried unable to produce the results intended? What are the root causes of the problems? Is it the mindset? Is it the ideas that are ingrained in the culture? The committee also developed principles from which the ordinance has been designed. And so with that, ultimately, I believe that the change has to be systemic and permeating all aspects of the work of the city, and the work must be focused and done with fidelity. And in the end, we must recognize compliance will only bring about change, and commitment will bring about transformation. I'm almost sure that 99%, or maybe 99.9% of the people in this room would side with the notion that we are not racist. Yet, it is the unintentional racism that is causing our plight. Unless we purposefully and intentionally go about addressing the issue of disparity, the problem will continue to grow, and the divide for the have and have-nots will continue to mount, which will lead us to detriments that will harm us all as a whole. I implore you, as leaders of our city, to answer the call of your people. There's a song by Toby Mac, City on Our Knees, where it says, if we're going to start somewhere, why not here? If we're going to start sometime, why not now? If we're going to start somewhere, I say here. If we're going to start sometime, I say now. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Maher.
Good evening. My name is Nicole Maher, and tonight I'm here in the capacity as the co-chair for the Communities of Color Coalition. I'm also a member of the Tlingit tribe and proud to call myself a true Native Oregonian. Tonight, I just want to take a few moments of your time and urge you to support the Office of Equity. The coalition has worked tirelessly to create the evidence that we have a deep, deep problem in this community. We have so many things to be proud of in Portland. It is unacceptable that we are one of the cities in the United States that has some of the deepest disparities, and the city of Portland has played a role in that. We know from the evidence of the last 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years that our current policies are not working, and in fact, they're harming our people. In Portland, we've had a bad habit of putting communities of color over on the side and making assumptions that they're small, when in fact, one out of every three adults is a person of color, and 52% of 0 to 18-year-olds are people of color. We are now in an era where our children, it's a majority minority. We have a shared destiny as a community, and everything that we do and everything that happens impacts all of us. Tonight, we have a fantastic gathering of people, and this is just a fraction of the people who support this effort. We're here, we're united, we believe in this effort, and we're asking you to be courageous leaders and to believe in the recommendations that the community has brought forward to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners, and members of the community. My name is Alan Lazo, and I am currently a member of the City of Portland's Human Rights Commission, and I've been participating in the Office of Equity Creation Committee in that role. As a body that seeks to uphold the universal rights of all and is specifically working to end discrimination and racism, the Human Rights Commission agrees that every effort should be made to make the City of Portland a more equitable place for all those who live, work, pray, and play here. As such, we support equity initiatives throughout the city and agree with the concepts in the Office of Equity Work Plan and the Portland Plan that suggests this work should lead with disparities that are based on race and or ethnicity and ability. But we're also here this evening to reiterate to this body, as we have through individual meetings with each of you, that the events that preceded the development of the Office of Equity earlier this year have caused great harm to the Human Rights Commission and to the community that provides our mandate. As a commission, we're concerned about the subsuming of the staff of the Office of Human Relations, which was intended by the original ordinance to serve the needs of the Human Rights Commission, into what will become the Office of Equity. What the Human Rights Commission and the community are requesting is that this City Council respect and uphold the spirit and letter of the original ordinance that created the Human Rights Commission and the Office of Human Relations. To do so would mean restoring to the HRC the resources outlined in the ordinance and further in our needs assessment dated March 24th. This would include the immediate hiring of a director to staff the Human Rights Commission with input predominantly from our commission, as well as ensuring the staff that assist in providing administrative support, research, outreach, and education. All of these resources currently exist and are allocated in the 2011-12 budget under the Office of Human Relations. You know your colleagues best. And what I'm suggesting is that if the work of the Human Rights Commission, which doesn't belong to any single commissioner and shouldn't be siloed into any single bureau portfolio, if that's important to you, then I'm asking for your help in determining at this point how best to resolve this issue. Let me be clear, though. I'm not asking for a no vote on behalf of the Human Rights Commission on the initiative before you. I strongly believe this equity initiative should move forward. But I'm asking you to change your heart and be clear in your support for the work of the Human Rights Commission as we continue to move this process forward. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jama.
Good evening, Mayor Sam Adamisk. I'm Amanda Fritz and Dan Salzman and Commissioner Leonard and Nick Fish. My name is Casey Chama. I am the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. We're a grassroots organization working to build multiracial, multi-ethnic movement for immigrant refugee rights. I'm also serving as a member of the Creation Committee. I'm not going to repeat all the statistics that you heard. I think majority of the Portlanders who are sensible will agree that we have a problem. I think the question then it becomes, what can we do? I also want to mention that I also involved the original committee that created Office of Human Relations. So I'm very, very familiar with both of them. Having said that, I think the mandate that initially set up for the Office of Human Relations is, I think they did well. I think their mission is to eliminate discrimination and bigotry, strengthening intergroup relationships, and fostering understanding, inclusion, and justice in our city. I think it's very clear that it's focused on external community relations, which I do strongly believe it's important and necessary one that needs to be done. What is different today and what I the involvement of human creation Office of Equity is that we are now into the point when we did the community education and community dialogue that we have to now come to the house, which is the city of Portland, the city structures. My organization focuses the root causes of the issue, and the root causes of issues when we can solve is focus on the systematic change. I do believe that this office, the ordinance that we are in front of us tonight that we are discussing, it enables the city of Portland finally to put its house in order. I have no illusion that we're going to solve in 5 years or even matter of 10 years the historic injustices that our community has faced. But I am confident by creating the metrics, the baseline that your city staff and employees and you yourself as elected officials can measure your success, whether you are achieving the 25-year plan, the Portland plan forward. That is important work. We have to take that very seriously. So to me, the Office of Equity and Office of Human Relations, they are equally important. It's building stones for each other. As we focused external for the past 3 years, now it's time to focus on internal. I think in conclusion, what we have done in the past is, as my friend Mitch said, it's a piecemeal. We know that that's not working. It's actually not good investment if we do that. We have done in the past that where our city, a house, where we have structural problems, where we're trying to fix by instead of structural problems, we might be saying, let's fix the window. Maybe if we can just put a new door, we'll take care of the problem. But we have never dealt with the root causes of the problem. And what this Office of Equity enables us as a city is to do that. So, and what we also have done in the past, and one quick point, is that where our organs are sick and need a treatment, what we have done is to focus building a cosmetic and seek for cosmetic plastic surgery so we can look good outside. I think this is a critical important, and I urge you to support the Office of Equity. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all very much. So the next four
are Tanita Fry, Roger Anthony, Nyla McCarthy, and Jack Stratton. And they'll be followed by Roy J., Nick Johnson, Thomas Nago, and Will Fuller.
Welcome.
Mr. J is here. Let's go ahead with Nick Johnson, if he's here.
Mr. Johnson, are you here?
Yes.
Welcome. Ms. Fry, would you like to begin, please? Welcome back.
I would. Good evening, Mayor Adams and commissioners. I will be brief because everything that I wanted to say has been said beforehand. My name is Donita Fry, and I'm coming tonight with my hat as a community member, although I'm engaged in various forms of what we consider an equity initiative within the city of Portland, in that I staff a grassroots advocacy group called the Portland Youth and Elders Council, which is funded through the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program out of ONI. I also participate in the Public Involvement Advisory Council work, which I believe public involvement is a critical component of equity. I chair the Human Rights Commission. I am a single mother who lives in the Colley neighborhood, raising children who attend Portland Public Schools. I came here 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago, and was really interested in being part of helping us build be a successful city. I wanted to contribute whatever it was that I could. And in doing so, a lot of this work that I do is in a volunteer capacity. I care about the city, and I care about our families. I care about our community. When I think about race, I think about the human race. And I guess the one thing that I just really wanted to share about connecting your heart to your mind and your heart back and your mind to your heart is that as we look out on the horizon and we think about those young people and those future generations out there, when they look back at the significance of what we're doing here in the city of Portland today, they will be full of gratitude and be blessed, be better individuals, because hopefully we initiate an office of equity through our work here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fry. Mr. Anthony.
Thank you. My name is Roger Anthony. I'm speaking on behalf of the Vision into Action Steering Committee. I've been a member of both the Portland Plan Equity Tag and the Creation Committee. As such, I'm going to take a little bit different tack than a lot of my colleagues have. They've spoken to you quite a bit at length tonight about the disparities in the city, in the country, in the state. My respect for the council is such that I presume none of that was a revelation to any of you. Nonetheless, the numbers are bad. The problems are real. That said, the initial focus of the work of the Office of Equity is going to be tightly locused on coordinating and streamlining city policies that promote equity. In many cases, these are policies that have been developed recently, such as the analysis of city expenditures by district, or policies that have already been in place at some but not all bureaus. The office will take part in building a database. It'll help create metrics for analyzing policies and progress toward equity. To promote accountability and best practices throughout city government, the office will create and adopt a series of indicators to measure progress. In short, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're putting new tires on the car. The office will be built on top of the existing Office of Human Relations. The infrastructure is already there. It will be relatively low cost for the city. The initial budget addition of $525,000 represents just 1/8 of 1% of the City of Portland budget. The work proposed by the Office of Equity represents the crucial first steps to be taken on the path to a more equitable Portland, one in which the future of each individual is determined by their skills and abilities and not by their race or zip code. Thank you.
Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Nyla McCarthy. I am speaking to you tonight as a woman, as a person with a disability, as a member of the sexual minority community, and officially as the chair of the Portland Commission on Disabilities. I'm not going to talk about cars or boats, and I'm not going to talk about data. I threw away the speech I was going to give because everybody said all the stuff that you needed to hear, and you guys get it. So I'm going to address my remarks actually to Commissioners Leonard, Saltzman, and Fish. The press has been negative and brutal about this. Yes, a process is going to be a little messy as we go forward. Life is a little messy, and when you get this many people that we see in this room coming together to tell you that we all support an Office of Equity, I think it's going to be a little messy, and I think you have a chance to be leaders in helping clean that mess up and helping hold yourselves as our elected officials accountable to make Portland the kind of city we all want to live in. I don't know how many people of disabilities you have in your staff. I know some of you have peoples of color in your staff. I don't know how many sexual minorities you have. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. We've had the statistics, but I know it's not enough. And the final thing that I'm going to say as the bell is ringing me down is that $525,000 is less than a dollar a person in the city. And if we can't risk a dollar a person or less in this city to try to give ourselves time to do the right thing, then I think we got some serious thinking about what our priorities are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, whoops.
For those of you arriving late, there's no clapping. There's no burping. There's no chirping. Mr. Johnston, welcome.
It's you in front of you about...
Oh, thank you.
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here. It's an honor to be here. My name is Nicholas Johnson. I am with the Portland Commission on Disability. I'm also a broker of currency on the foreign market exchange, but I come to you right now as a person that is disabled. Yes, it's quite obvious that I'm black, but I've experienced personally more discrimination as being a person of disabled than I was ever even thought of as a black man. And I felt that impact here in the city when I had applied in different positions, even in federal government. I was appalled by it. It didn't discourage me. It focused me, and I had to make a job for myself because I wanted to succeed. I never wanted a handout. I just wanted the opportunity and able to make a living for myself and my family. And this office can provide that. You have a great chance in helping other people by having the by making it available in exercising the right of human resources, and also in fairness upon what people are able to do. We just have to do it a little differently than ambulatory people can. And if given the chance, we can do the same job with the same results. And all of us can help build this city, but it takes an open door. And this is what the Office of Equity can do. It can enable Portland to open the door for all of us to have that fair chance in living abilities, in where we live, where we work, where we raise our children, and where we worship. And that's what I have to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Thank Johnson. You. Thank you all. All right, the next four
are Thomas Nago, Will Fuller, and Cecilia Kearns, and Dr. Ryan. Sorry, I can't read the last name. Oh, Skelton. Thank you, Dr. And they'll be followed by Peter Bale, Jamal Dar, Ann Downing, and Terry Parker.
Welcome. Thanks for your patience. We appreciate it. Mr. Bale? No, sorry. Mr. Fuller.
Oh, okay. My name is Williamson Whitehead Fuller III. Now, I say that pompous name because I'm a person who's benefited from inequities. Mm-hmm. And my heritage is based on those inequities. And I'm here today to stand firm in solidarity in support of the Office of Equity, urging a unanimous vote in favor of this office on the 21st because of that heritage. I've lived a tension between the words that I came with, our ancestors came with, and the actions because of it. My ancestors, when they came on a little boat a few hundred years ago, came in for liberty and freedom, and the people that met the boat with these undocumented aliens got a different story. We fought a revolution based on inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness if you were a white male of property like me. We declared a constitution that said the two major things, form a more perfect union, establish justice, and the constitution was burdened with slavery, so we fought a war to end that slavery, and then came the Klan and Jim Crow, where I was born. We fought another war against the racism of Nazism and with segregated army and colonial people of color fighting that war. And here we are today where you've heard the statistics about Portland saying what it is, and yet we still have the words that we had not lived up to, and we time we did it. It's a few hundred years past time that we did it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that, Tom.
Thank you for your time, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Thomas Halengo. I am the board co-chair for APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. We are a statewide grassroots advocacy organization, mobilizer Asian and Pacific Islander communities to advance access and equity in Oregon. We were a founding member of the Coalition of Communities of Color, and we have hundreds of members and engage more than 1,000 allies throughout the state. Now, Portland's history is steeped in racism, as we all know, and you know, some observers would suggest we're past that, but unfortunately that's not the case. You may have seen that with a recent traffic safety project on Williams Avenue. Community members were not heard. And that's, you know, racism is institutionalized in the city, and there's a lack of collective understanding. And we applaud Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz for the courage in spearheading the formation of the Office of Equity. And There could be a lot more partnerships happening. The bureaus, when they're moving on with their projects, would actually have the support they need to really address equity, because it has not been addressed at all by the city. And Apano stands firm with our partners, the CIO, Urban League, Basic Rights Oregon, Coalition for a Livable Future, and we urge you in forming the Office of Equity. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Sir, welcome.
Thank you very much, commissioners. My name is Dr. Ryan Skelton, and I'm a disabled clinical psychologist here in Portland. I also work with people with disabilities in my practice, and that is the vent or the angle of my testimony that I'd like to take today. I don't know if I'm speaking loud enough or I'm close enough to the mic, so let me move a little bit further in here.
Great.
Almost invariably in my practice, although not entirely invariably, I find that inequities in employment, inequities in housing, inequities in the access to services support the acquisition and the maintenance of mental illness. And although not all of my clients, and perhaps none of my clients, work for the city of Portland, I would urge the commissioners to take the opportunity today to lead by example, to show what a city can do if it has the right legislative and citywide priorities, and we can make a statement together that inequity will not stand here, that we as a city will not support mental illness. We can actively create policies which will, if not abolish it, at least lessen its occurrence for a population that is at great risk. And so I urge you to vote with courage in a time of great fiscal strain and lead Portland into the future. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Doctor, and thank you all.
For our Peter Bale, Jamal Dar, Ann Downing, and Terry Parker. And they'll be followed by Tim Hall, Fern Wilgus, Sharon Gary Smith, and Christy Dushinich.
Mr. Bale, welcome.
Good evening. My name is Peter Bale, and I'm a commissioner with the Portland Commission on Disabilities. There are those who doubt the value of a new government office, but to them I say, is what we have now actually working? Because there is an expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, unfortunately, it is broke, and we do need to fix it, and you folks have the opportunity to do something about that. So why do I think the Office of Equity can actually make a difference? Well, because it's going to be focused entirely on the goal of equity for all. Now, I have heard and read just today terrible criticism of Commissioner Fritz because she didn't wave a magic wand and produce out of her hat a plan that was in existence and everything was solved. No, what actually happened was she and the mayor, thankfully, took the time and the opportunity to listen and talk to the people of Portland. She actually encouraged conversation, and here we have the ordinance and the work plan that's been created, not just by the leaders, but by the people as well. And that is why you folks have to vote for it, because this is Portland telling you actually what they need. So vote in favor of the Office of Equity Ordinance together with the work plan, and please give Portland a chance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bale. Sir?
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Jamal Dar. I'm Executive Director for African Youth and Community Organization, ICO. We started this organization March 2010. The reason we started was because of the refugee children and refugee families coming from Africa are struggling in this society to adapt to this culture to adapt to this environment and this society. Basically, what we did, started doing it for the 30 students, well, like 30 students who were really not achieving their academically, Southwest area, and started doing homework and tutoring after school program. In addition, we started providing sports. Soccer was the main thing, but it's continued doing basketball and track and field. And those are the kids that never had opportunity because of they were born in the refugee camps and mom and dad could not help because of the lack of language. Now, when they arrive in the United States, based on their age, they were being put into the schools. 15 years old could be in high school, but never learned ABC, 1, 2, 3. That was very difficult to adapt to that. So we start working with these schools, mainly three different schools, elementary, middle school, and high schools, to have homework and tutoring. From that point, the other community, you know, white kids, African-American kids, and you guys know the minority. I mean, we talk about a lot, minority and African-American, but imagine African refugees coming to this society and facing that difficult is huge in this community. So the problem was, when they put together in the schools, they find out right away that this is not their thing. They cannot succeed in this society, in these schools. So they drop out of school. The problem started there. And how we can sustain them, keep them, you know, in school, we have to do homework and tutoring. Now with that, just for the numbers, from the last 3 months, there's about 200 families, 200 people from Kenya, from Ethiopia and Kenya arrived in this state, just Oregon alone. For the first 8 months, the state covers for their rent and their living. After that, good luck. What are they going to do? No one has no idea. Now, I would not say don't bring them, because I do know this is the opportunity. This is the land of opportunity. And I started myself. I come here since 96, started, you know, my high school, went to college, and graduated. Now, do we need to help these people? Do we need to help, you know, face the challenge? Of course. Are we ignoring? Absolutely, yes. What can we do to help? Of course, engage in those community that we bring into this country, you know, or don't even bring it. Don't even bother. Since the last 10 years, I've been living in 15 years in Oregon. For the last 10 years, there's over 6,000 refugees coming from alone Somalia and, you know, Ethiopia.
So now, I need to have you wrap it up.
Now, I want to wrap it up. I want a community, starting from the leaders that we elected, help those refugees and help to adapt to their culture, society, and their community. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
I will be brief. Good evening, Mayor Adams and our caring city commissioners. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you some of my thoughts about equity in Oregon.
And your name is?
My name is Ann Downing, and I have the great good luck to teach English as a second language at David Douglas High School. My students come from all over the world, and they and their families have come here to work and learn, and above all, to live in peace. David Douglas occupies 12 very diverse square miles. 10 years ago, the percentage of white native English speakers in the district dropped below 50%. More statistics, sorry. In 2007, it dipped below 40%. Today, it's at 32%. The fact is, the students in my school district go home each night and speak 75 languages, only one of which is the English language. Life has been difficult for these new Portlanders, particularly those who have spent most of it living in a refugee camp. These new members of our Portland family need more than equal opportunity. They need more than tolerance. They need all of Portland, Portland family to show them, connect them, mentor them, until our children's children stand together in this wonderful community. Equity is an ideal caring humans can strive for. And in doing so, we can all make this one of the richest places on earth. I'm over. Sorry about that.
Thank you very much. Mr. There. Parker, welcome back.
Thank you. Terry Parker, a fourth-generation Portlander. I've edited my 3 minutes down to two. Equity has many facets. My focus this evening is in an area the city has subjectively refused to call the call for equity. The current political approach for controversial bicycle and transit projects is to routinely stack the deck on citizen advisory committees with special interest activists and then proclaim community support. The voices of fiscal stakeholders, such as tax-abused motorist representation, are excluded from within the upfront process and conversation. The big missing piece from this political manipulation is equity. The huge problematic result is the absence of financial sustainability. A change of direction, cultural shift must take place. One of the valid functions of functional obligations for an office of equity must be to create an equity policy of transport fairness principles. Responsibility requirements must include infrastructure user fees for bicyclists, the elimination of elite free rail zones, and a mandate that transit fares better reflect the fiscal costs of providing the service. In other words, sharing the benefit or sharing the burden for the benefit. Not only is this a more equitable funding mechanism for alternative transport infrastructure, but it's also a step in the right direction for alternative transport modes to become more financial self-sustainable, thereby creating a steady stream revenue stream that is less impacted and interrupted by oil prices, commuting trends, traffic projections, and or modal shifts. This new policy must also address the citizen process whereby specific representatives from all modes of transport are included on PDOT advisory committees with membership numbers that can correspond to actual mode splits. It is totally unjust and biased to assert that the excuse that because most people drive, there is no need to have motor-specific representation on transport-related citizen advisory committees and then include pedestrian coalition representatives when just about everybody walks. In closing, continuing down the same one-sided road only stirs up the lack of equity and increases the deficiency of financial self-sustainability. The local accountability is yours. Creating a city office of equity is the right thing to do. Producing an equity policy of transport fairness principles falls within the realm of what an office of equity must do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Thank you all. Appreciate your testimony.
Next four are Jack Stratton, Tim Hall, Fern Wilgus, and Sharon Gary Smith. And they'll be followed by Christy Dukinsik, Walter, and Beth Kay. And also LaVon Heaster in that next group.
Mr. Stratton.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jack Stratton, speaking as a citizen today. Apart from a simple desire for justice, there are selfish reasons why white people should support equity. As Booker T. Washington said, one cannot hold another man in a ditch without remaining in the ditch with him. Is Portland truly holding people of color in a ditch? A 2009 report from the Urban League showed that conditions for African Americans in Portland have not improved in the 17 years since their last report, and by some measures has gotten worse. A 2010 PSU report showed that Multnomah County is a uniquely toxic place for people of color, be they of Asian, African, or Native descent. Personal stories are likewise persuasive. One African-American colleague who interacts professionally with governmental and civic agencies says that she is treated better in conservative Burns and on the coast than she is in liberal Portland. The costs to all of us are enormous, though more horrific for people of color. Federal Reserve Governor Andrew Brimmer showed that discrimination against blacks in education and commensurate employment cost all of us $241 billion in 1993. We all lost this money. Though through taxes African Americans did not pay, goods they could not buy, and the retailers blacks could not buy from, in turn, not buying goods from other whites, and so on. Each of us lost about $1,000 that year. And the year after that, and more every year after that. Which of us in this room would not have benefited from having an additional $18,000 in our lives over the past 18 years? Astoundingly more if we were to add in discrimination against Latinos, Native Americans, and sectors beyond education. Our act of holding people of color in a ditch is hurting us all on a massive scale. It's time to step away and to let our city bloom. The proposed Office of Equity is a move along that path and has been criticized for being imprecise. Well, it has taken us 150 years to create the mess we're in, and will certainly take some improvisation to disentangle. If we shy from the process because no yellow brick road has been laid out for us, we are choosing to stay in the ditch. The initial focus on governmental institutions is appropriate, though banks, universities, hospitals, to name a few, all contribute to maintaining racial disparity in Portland, government must be a strong player in institutional change. Let me close with a comment on the proposed budget of $500,000 per year for the Office of Equity. If you think that is a lot of money, compare it to the more than $6 million per year that racism costs the 600,000 people of Portland. $6 million a year versus $500,000. If the Office of Equity were to achieve only 0.1% reduction in racial discrimination in Portland, it would fully pay back that annual investment. I urge you all your support for the proposal, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor.
Welcome back.
Good evening, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. I currently am employed with the Portland Water Bureau. I also serve as the chair of the City African American Network, a member, an affinity group under the DEEP program. I also chair an advisory board for President Ray at Oregon State University on the issues of community, diversity, and equity at OSU. I'm here tonight to ask for your full support and funding for the new Office of Equity. I applaud Mayor Adams for his desire and commitment to finally do something more than talk about ensuring equity citywide. I agree with the mayor and with Commissioner Fritz, who want to finally start to change the negative culture and climate in Portland for many people of color who live and work here. Sadly, many people brush aside the truth that Portland can be an unfriendly place to live and work. 7 years ago, there was much hoopla in City Hall about diversity and equity, but the fact is that African-American employees actually saw fewer opportunities since then. The City African American Network was established to advocate for fairness in the workplace and to promote the hiring of more people of color, especially in bureaus where there historically were very few. Sadly, we have made very little progress. I've had the honor and privilege of working with all of you, and I'm very proud to say that. So I know that your hearts are all in the right place, whether you vote yes or no. However, if you and future commissioners and mayors want to see Portland attract new, large, and small businesses and jobs, you must deal with one of the root causes of why companies sensitive to how people of color are treated will not consider Portland. Our city is full of inequities that most of the public never recognize because it does not affect them. Just as one example, the Safeway supermarket on Martin Luther King Boulevard closes its doors at 11 p.m. on Saturday. Yet the Safeway at Jansen Beach, downtown Portland, and the Lloyd District and elsewhere are open until 1 a.m. We all know why. You have a chance to start to change this concealed, secretive form of discrimination by establishing the Office of Equity. Its mission will be very clear to you once you do so. I encourage a yes vote, and thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am, welcome.
Okay, thank you. My name is Fern Wilgus, and I'm representing myself this evening. As you can tell, I'm old. You may or may not be able to tell, I'm a lesbian. And probably you cannot tell that I'm a person of disabilities. So I have covered some of these areas. When I first found out about the potential for this office by working with Commissioner Fritz on some ONI projects, I told her that I think it's a wonderful. There are some other organizations that I know that have had some involvement with this. And I want to let you all know that I support this organization simply from the perspective There's got to be a leader. There's got to be a champion in order for all of the other organizations that you've heard from this evening to be successful. You can be the role models. And whether you're reelected or not, the situation is that each one of you are either a commissioner or a mayor. And I say, let's get started today. This is old, this is lesbian, and this is disabled person. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gary Smith, welcome back.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm here tonight in support of a work in progress. I'm here tonight for a messy process, which from my experience of all these years has always been the business of government and governance. And so I'm excited at the possibility of getting about the business of crafting, of overseeing, of managing, of monitoring, of figuring out how to move forward in a way that the mayor has initiated and Commissioner Fritz has taken on for her responsibility. I have never seen a perfect process in Portland or most other cities about something so important, and I wouldn't want it perfect. My experience and that of many in this room, our parents waited. Our parents' parents came here, poor people of color, people with different abilities, people whose sexual orientation caused them to be the others. I doubt if many of you are, in fact, those others that we have experienced on a daily basis. So I want you to wrap yourselves around this. No more reports. You have all the reports, the information, the knowledge, the gaps, and the expertise in this room and outside it to guide your feet around transparency about those of us who are always just us. I want you, Commissioner Fish, to approach this with a level of knowledge wanting as you experienced around housing discrimination. I experienced it personally. And what I learned is landlords who discriminate, they already have education. They know they can get away with it. I want you, Commissioner Saltzman, to be excited and engaged around why equity and an office that is specific for that matters, just as you embrace the children's levy. Because our children, my daughter, my parents' children, we want to thrive. We want to not be assumed to be left then and get the leftovers. And I want you, the longest tenured commissioner, Commissioner Leonard.
I am just the oldest. Commissioner Saltzman is the longest tenured.
That too. I want you to approach this as you've approached the firefighters and the police pension. I want you to pretend this is that little caretaker's cottage at Powell Butte. I want you to not wonder anymore about whether this is diversity or equity or multiculturalism. I want you to say we want our last legacy to be stepping forward up on and with us, not on the shoulders of those of us who are the people who historically have been the ones left out, wondered about, and will reserve it for later. If you don't think this is important enough to support the efforts that have begun, then that tells me you want business as usual, which has never been my business. Thank you.
Thank you. We keep it. We keep everything. I'm Marta. All right. That's okay. Because she's your mother, we'll let that one go. Yeah. But unless she has other children in the room, the rest of you have to adhere to the rules. Who are our next four?
Are Christy, Walter, and Beth Kay, and LaVon Heaster.
Can you say those again?
Christy, Walter.
Is that two people or one person?
Beth Kay, Walter. It's just the last name's Walter or the first name's Walter on fourth.
Okay.
And LaVon Heaster.
All right.
How about Daryl Dixon? Okay, come on up, and then they'll be followed by Jill Severson, Martha Perez, Curtis Walker, and Taj Silliman.
Ms. Christie or Christy, are you?
She's not saying my last name because it's impossible to pronounce. It's Christy Dyking.
Welcome.
Thank
please,
you.
Please begin.
Thank you. Although there are many dimensions of diversity, I want to specifically focus on race, as many folks have tonight. As we hear all the statistics, and I know you know them, I think the challenge is, especially as white people, how do we feel them? How do we feel the impact of what it's like to be on the losing end of those numbers that are so devastatingly inequitable? And so I was thinking about, what if we collected all the same data again next year and suddenly, oh, it flipped. And now it's white people who are on the losing end of all those numbers. It just changed. How urgent would we think that was as a city? What would be the clamor for redress, for equity? I think we would all agree that it would be urgent business. So I think what happens after so many decades of this gross racial inequity and now worsening in Portland, sometimes, I think particularly if we're white, we can become insensitive to the pain. And the pain behind that statistics all is just not perceptible to us. And it sort of becomes, not that we would really say it out loud, but there's kind of, well, this is maybe the way it is. It's always been this way. You know, we can tinker with it around the edges. But I think we need to really take it in our hearts and imagine that it is really our responsibility to deal with it. And I ask you in support of this measure to lead us toward a just Portland, a Portland that we can really be proud of, to say through your vote, this really is not acceptable in Portland. We will not let it go on. We not only can do better, but we will do better. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Walter? Hi.
My name is Walter.
And your last name?
Just Walter.
Just Walter, okay.
I'm a geographic educator. I'm new to your city. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And I am honored to be here in this expression of Athenian democracy. Okay? And so a few months ago, I read an article in the Portland Tribune in which the mayor talks about positioning Portland to be an international economic powerhouse in conjunction with working with PSU. I think that's laudable, applaudable, and commendable. I also recognize that you're also going to add an extra letter to the chromosomal structure of the city, E, equity. I've heard the numbers, and I'm impressed that you're going to do this, that you're trying to be an Acropolis, which means a city on the hill. I look forward to listening to all the no's. In fact, I hope this engenders more no's than yes, because I think that equity has to be challenged, and it has to also compete with those who are ignorant. And I'm not saying using the word insultingly, but those who don't know, I think philosophically the idea of equity has to be competitive, persuasively, logically, and also emotionally competitive. There's a lot of no out there, a lot of it. I've heard this lady talk about some of it. I've heard the black lady before me speak of it. Okay, so that philosophy, that business as usual, has to be challenged, okay, and has to be challenged categorically, cannot be challenged sentimentally. I want to commend that the municipal institution is going to add another institution that's going to deal with this. And I don't care, really, how many no's out there. I want to hear the no's. Okay, but the idea that the mayor came out with a few months ago, that he's going to position, and the rest of you are going to position the city to be an international city, you have to get into the the tectonic plates. You have to shift the tectonic plates socially, culturally, economically, and racially. You simply have to do that. And if this office, yet to be created, has that as an intention, then the arguments that are going to come against it, okay, will be met by the people in front of me, and I think it will be met by the people in back of me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Mr. Dixon.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I am here to express my support for the Office of Equity in the City of Portland, and I just have a few comments. So many people say what I wanted to say. But I was reminded of when I was meeting with Chair Kogan, and he was having to make a decision about who would be his chief diversity officer. I commended him because I said, in these economic times, you will be criticized for spending money on this office. But I say, no matter who you pick, I respect you so much for taking the courageous leadership to do this, because you understand that when times are hard, that's when you need to address equity even more. There's never been a convenient time or the right time for this work. And 20 years of doing this has never been convenient. There's never been enough money for it, but it's the right thing to do. Sometimes you just have to build the airplane while you're flying it. And I commend you. You have been criticized for not having it all laid out. And I would be critical of anybody that thinks they can lay out equity in a plan and have it on page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would be very critical and suspicious of that. This is just one of those things that sometimes you start the journey and you discover as you go. So as someone said, don't let that be a barrier to your decision to support this. This is that kind of thing. It's like beauty. It's like love. It's kind of hard to define, but you know when you don't have it, you want it. And when you have it, you know you got it. And that's what about equity is like. And so I just want to commend you and let you know that I and my staff at the county are looking forward to working with your director and the staff that you bring together, and we'll do everything we can to help you go forward in the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dixon. Appreciate it. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Hello, my name is LaVon Heaster, and I am involved in many of the disability groups in the Portland area. So hello to everybody, because I think that all of us have dedicated ourselves by being here this evening. And I've never seen such a good turnout of the disability community, so I'm excited by that. I want to start out by commending the Urban League and the Coalition of Communities of Color on the reports they put together. I found them just very heart-wrenching, but not surprising, unfortunately. Not at all surprising. And I think in the best of times, we have had all kinds of problems in this city with the issues of equity. And right now, we're kind of in the worst of times. And it's disproportionately affecting some of us. And that's a problem. For me, I speak from the disability community, and I'm talking a lot about invisibility. So when I commend the Coalition and the Urban League on their reports, I wish we had such a report. And I think the Office of Equity gives us an opportunity to begin to become visible. And I just want to share some really quick stories. I have a friend who is completely blind, and she was robbed. And she could not report it because no one would take her report because she could not see. That's unacceptable to me. I heard someone say unacceptable before, and I'm like, that's unacceptable to me that someone can't report a crime. I have friends who are having difficulty getting into housing because of accessibility. I don't know how many friends I have talked to about jobs and job issues. It's really hard to feel invisible, because when you do go to work, when you do come into meetings, it's really rare that you see people who have obvious disabilities. And the people who don't have obvious ones, we spend as much time as possible passing, because we don't want to be identified. The last things that I wanted to talk about was how Jack Straighten talked about how much money would we have if we didn't have the racism. Well, how much money would we have if we had equity in employment for people with disabilities?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Next four, Chris Lopez and Peter Light, if they're available. Jill Severson and Martha Perez.
And how many more do we have after that?